and welcome to Dakota Midday for this Tuesday. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Carl Gerke, who is away. And we're going to start off talking about farm rescue. And joining me is Dennis Weiss. He's the Director of Development and Public Relations for Farm Rescue. It's a nonprofit organization that provides planting, harvesting, and haying assistance free of charge to family farmers who have suffered a major injury, illness, or natural disaster. And Dennis Weiss is a former president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, serving from 1993 to 2005, and he also served as secretary and treasurer of the National Farmers Union. And Dennis joins us now on Dakota Midday. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day.
Thank you, Kara. It's great to be here.
So let's talk farm rescue. How did you get involved in this?
Well, actually, it ironically was a friend of mine who had forwarded an email to me and said, you know, you'd be a great fit for this. He was a longtime friend of mine. His name is Clay Peterson. He passed away in the interim. It's kind of a melancholy time for me in some ways because I lost a dear friend during that process. Mm-hmm. But Clay had formerly been involved with the National Farmers Union. And he had gotten an email in Colorado and said, you know, you're out there in the Dakotas. You ought to be doing this. So that was how it all transpired.
And farm rescue is primarily in North and South Dakota and Minnesota, or is it nationwide?
It was started in North Dakota by a gentleman named Bill Gross, who started out to help a few farmers in the Jamestown area of North Dakota, and did so, and it continued to grow and blossom, and it's gone into many states since that, two Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, parts of Montana, and frankly, they'll continue to grow as time goes on. One of the reasons I was brought on as Director of Development is to increase the funding even further because, frankly, we've outstripped our funding with the demand. So we're looking for new partners and new sponsors and donors to come on board. We've been really fortunate to have some outstanding sponsors and foundations supporting us and continue to support us.
And that was my next question. So it's mostly businesses and foundations and individuals?
Well, yeah, it's the normal routine of who you would see donating to this. One of the major sponsors of equipment is RDO Equipment Company, and they supply us with combines and tractors and a number of John Deere implements that are necessary to conduct the work that we do for the farmers. The Leona Helmsley Charitable Trust, Leona and Terry Helmsley Charitable Trust, is a major donor of ours. So we've been very fortunate to have them, the Bremer Foundation and the Bremer Bank, and which was based in North Dakota, but it's got a long history in multiple states. So they are major funders of this program and have been for many years and will continue to be. But in the meantime, we reach out and we talk to a number of smaller donors. And, you know, frankly, today $1,000 and $5,000 sponsors are a big thing for us.
Now, you told me that you knew of 300 farmers were helped in Minnesota alone, correct?
No, it's no? 300 farmers throughout the history of the program.
Throughout the history of the program,
and,
okay.
The last one was in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, is the 300th producer that we've worked with. And producers make an application to the board of directors. Typically, they will, in the case of harvesting or planting, they will do 500 to 1,000 acres for a farmer. They're introducing some new ideas this year to go out and perhaps help do more, but they may have to charge for some of that, and that money that they charge will go to helping the next producer. So by and large, what they've done is move from place to place. It's, as a farmer myself who works on with three other family members to take care of business, it's remarkable to watch how they move equipment to match the harvest that's needed. And a lot of times a farmer will say, you know, I've got 2,000 acres, and we'll say, all right, do you want to do your soybeans or your corn that we can move to the next farm as well? And so we try to help as many in as limited time as we have.
Now, in the history of farming, it's just the neighbors all come together and help. And so is this farm rescue coordinating the neighbors or doing it separately?
Well, we're actually doing it separately. Okay. We certainly admire, and I myself have recently had a family member who's gone through a very difficult medical condition and continues to. And, you know, we're we're a large family and a great neighborhood, so a lot of us pulled together to help get his crop out. We certainly think that's still important. But there are times when either part or all of the crop could be taken care of by someone from the outside. Having said that, well, we come in with equipment and we'll deliver the crop to wherever it needs to go. The fact of the matter is we're looking for volunteers every day. So your listeners, if they're interested in volunteering, we want you to give us a call, contact us. You can go through farmrescue.org and get on the and get on there and register as a person interested in being a volunteer. So it could be neighbors that help out.
So this is, you know, this is a time when agriculture, when farms are getting larger and fewer people, you know, doing the work. And how does Farm Rescue then play a role in that?
Well, it's really one of the major challenges. You know, a lot of farms today are so large that they have a lot to take care of in their own production, and it's harder and harder to help a large farmer or a small farmer to take time out of what's already a busy schedule with employees and so on. So sometimes that in and of itself creates a opportunity for Farm Rescue to come in and take care of the production. At the same time, we know that some of the neighbor farmers have been very willing to help pay for some of the costs associated with Farm Rescue. So we go into a place, our volunteers come throughout the United States, including in the Dakotas and Minnesota and the respective communities. So we ask for people to donate money to sponsor a volunteer as one of our programs. We ask the family if they will be able to have the volunteers that run the equipment stay at their home or stay at a neighbor's home. Preparing food, those are all things that come into play as we plan out any given rescue program that we conduct.
And is this really taking equipment to all of these places, or do you get equipment once you're there? I mean, this is big stuff, these combines.
It is.
How does that work?
We have had some wonderful sponsors. Again, I've mentioned RDO Equipment Company and multiple auto dealerships throughout the Northern Plains, and we're always looking for more. We've got Wilson Trailer as a sponsor, and so we have lowboys, but people would see a combine going down the road on the highway. That's what we utilize and move to the next place. And yet, you know, I admire on a very limited number of staff people who have worked part-time for generally the duration of this organization. They have moved hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment throughout this 2 or 3 state area, and they've had to coordinate. I think it was 15 farmers that we harvested for this fall. So to figure out where that grain, and we're only doing, you know, 500 to 1,000 acres. So the idea that we're going to be at one farmer's place on a Monday, and by Friday we'll be down to another farmer's place, maybe 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 farms later. It all has to work out with the weather. It's got to work out logistically, the volunteers. So it's a major undertaking.
How do you qualify to receive the assistance? How does Farm Rescue learn about them?
Well, as it says in our documents, we generally look at people facing a major illness, injury, or a natural disaster. And we do ask for balance sheets, not necessarily as a matter of saying, all right, you've got enough wealth or you don't have enough wealth. And we're not making a judgment on that. We're providing a benefit. We're providing a grant, if you will, but we're providing a benefit to a family. We will ask them, you know, what are the circumstances surrounding your illness? What are the needs that you might have that you must take care of or can't take care of any longer? So there's a variety of, I guess I would say, criteria that go into it. And there's a board of directors that makes a decision. And sometimes you might have somebody that's in an outlying area. It might be hard to take care of that particular person as a matter of just the distance. And so we have to make a judgment on how far we can go. Farm Rescue has an affiliated organization called Farm Rescue Foundation, where we also accept donations. And so sometimes maybe we can't get there with the equipment. Maybe we can help in some other way.
And give them a financial boost?
Assistance, right. Yep.
Sure. Sure. And you spend how much time? I mean, how long does it take? I mean, obviously, it depends on the size and how
depends
many acres.
Depends on the size and the weather, but, you know, on a good day, getting everything going right and everything, you can assume that we maybe could have 200 acres or more that we can take care of on any given farm. We had a situation this last summer where it was time to do wheat in North Dakota, and it started to get a little damp. And so volunteers who had taken out of their vacation time from another part of the country spent some days not getting anything done as far as for the farmer, but maybe playing some cards in the summertime waiting for the weather to clear. So, you know, we don't plan on spending multiple days in one location. It's going to be coming in and out of there. And people, if you go on to farmrescue.org, you can find a lot of the stories of people that we've helped, some of the volunteers that have come and helped. It's very rewarding, as one can imagine, on both sides of the program, those that give and those that are given to. So it's a really neat opportunity for neighbors helping neighbors.
And we're talking primarily harvesting, and your window to do this and to travel around is not very large.
No, it isn't. And, you know, we have an air seeder, and we have a row crop planter as well. So typically we would do one crop or another. And in the springtime, we've done a lot of corn. We have not gotten into soybean planting to any extent, at least. So we focus on an air seeder, and we focus on a corn planting operation. And given the logistics, again, of moving that, we get quite a bit done. But we did 51 farms this year. Now, that's the highest number ever, and we intend to continue to help that many and more. Again, what it's contingent on is financing, and that's why sometimes, you know, I say a 500 to 1,000 acres. Well, the farmer has 1,200 acres. We may say we'll do 1,000 acres or we'll do 700 acres, whatever the conditions warrant. But do your additional acres if we can get paid, because we have to find a way to get to the next place. And at some point, we'll go from two combines to four combines.
Well,
it's important for people to remember, this is not farm rescue as in the 1980s when we were working with farmers that were always in duress financially. Now, certainly anyone with a medical condition can face that day fast enough, given the cost of health care. But we really are helping people in a time of crisis, and it's not about their finances. It's something where we think, all right, we can help you do 1,000 acres. They're willing to pay for the cost of fuel, those things. So it's not about whether they can afford it. It's a matter of whether there's time to get it done by them, their families, or their neighbors.
And you know, you talk about crisis, and this is kind of just a one-time deal. It can't really continue.
It has been. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's a good question, Carrie. You know, other than one family that I know of at this point, it's been a one-time thing where you come in the spring, you come in the fall, you take care of things, you see how people are able to recover from whatever challenge they are faced with, and one of them became a prolonged deal, but it was also a situation where they were going to be getting better and could take care of things themselves. So we ended up going back the second time. I think it was spring and fall. We added, for instance, haying, putting up hay. And basically, it's a round baler and a tractor. We put that on recently in an effort to reach a different time of the year and do more goodwill, if you will, in the countryside. We look at, okay, everybody out that knows hay understands you have to put it down with a wind roller. You may have to rake it. We don't have that equipment at this time. We're considering it, but everything we purchase, we also know we have to move it across the country. And so it's, again, a decision that's not a spur of the moment.
Well, you know, not to stereotype, but farmers are very proud people, and it takes a lot to ask for help.
It absolutely does. You know, I remember the first year that I started at the South Dakota Farmers Union was 1993, and the Great Mississippi Flood, which actually had flooded here in South Dakota long before that. It was a situation where farmer after farmer was reluctant to not only seek help, but to seek federal help. And that is the story we get time and time and time again. It's a very difficult thing for them to ask, and it's a very emotional time when they call for help. But in this case, it's neighbors helping neighbors. Oftentimes, we have farmers, the community business people, their neighbors, step up and provide funding for farm rescue in the future because somebody did come in and help them at a time of crisis and need. And for them, it's also a way of giving back then. You know, again, I think if we look at the producers, these are oftentimes very successful operations, multiple generations, and they're not asking for a handout. They're asking for an opportunity to get back on their feet again and get going.
More of a hand up.
Yep, more of a hand up. That's exactly right.
Okay. And so, Dennis, run through, you know, what people need to do and talk a little bit about, you know, for the future. I mean, obviously we're in the winter months, not a lot for you to do, but to get organized and to raise funds and what needs to happen in the winter months here.
Well, this time of the year, obviously we're nearing year end, so I would ask anyone considering a donation or something to deal with their taxes that they look at Farm Rescue as a place where they can make a donation. We accept very large donations and smaller donations, so whatever one might have, they can certainly contact me. My personal phone number is 605-864-3796. It's 864-3796. But you can go to farmrescue.org. You'll find my information and contact information for others. If they want to make a donation online, you can do that as well. We have sponsors that we are constantly hearing from. So the year-round is a fundraising time. We're accepting applications from farmers that may know they're going to be facing a challenge. We've had people call in and say, you know, I know I'm going into surgery. My doctor has told me I will not be able to do spring planting. I need help. And so that's another opportunity for people to contact us. Maybe their neighbor, they want to suggest someone anonymously. We can do that. And finally, the volunteers. It's an ever-growing number. You can be the neighbor and be a volunteer. We will help coordinate that activity. So, again, farmrescue.org is the most logical and most convenient place for people to get in touch with us on all of those fronts.
All right. Dennis Weiss, I want to thank you for taking time and talking to us on Dakota Midday today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you to South Dakota Public Radio.
Thank you. Dennis Weiss is the Director of Development and Public Relations for Farm Rescue. He also is a former president of the South Dakota Farmers Union and served as Secretary and Treasurer of the National Farmers Union.